Good morning, everyone, and very happy Sunday. It's good to be here with you. I guess I wasn't here in July because it seems like a really long time since I've led a weekly gathering. If I was here in July, then that was a long time ago. of course, we are going to begin this gathering just like we begin every gathering, by saying hello to one another on our board. And as we do that, I will play a part of the song called Awakening by Devra Pamal and Mitten.
Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
Thank you very much for taking the time to greet one another on the board. It's always wonderful to see everybody here on Sunday morning. It's good to be together, isn't it? I can't believe that today is the last Sunday in August. I don't know where summer goes every year. It just disappears in the blink of an eye, and it has done it once again. So let me begin with a statement of purpose. Today I selected one of our core values, which I think fits well with our topic this morning. This is our third core value. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And our topic today is, what is forgiveness? And I feel that forgiveness is the word that A Course in Miracles and also Jesus in the New Testament put to letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Right? That is forgiveness. So that's why I selected this core value as our statement of purpose for today. But before we get into that, let me go to our announcements. We have several announcements today. The first one is, you may have already noticed that we have a new website. We're real excited to have this website go live. There were several reasons for doing it. The primary driver for getting it done before September 1 is that all of the audios that you all have always listened to were stored on Dropbox in what's called a Dropbox public folder. And what that public folder allowed you to do was to click on an audio link, it would start a player, and you could listen to the audio no matter who you were. And Dropbox has decided to let go of that public service as of September 1. So that meant that all of our audios needed to be moved to a new provider, and all of our links needed to be replaced before September 1. So that was kind of the driver for the deadline. And you know, we have now successfully done that. All of our audios are with another provider called Drive HQ, which is the provider that the Regina Don Akers website has always used. And all of the links have been replaced to Drive HQ links on the new website. So whenever you click on an audio, even if it's an audio from 4 years ago, you'll go to Drive HQ, the player will start up, and you'll be able to listen to the audio. From your end, you actually won't even notice a difference. It's just going to look the same as it did before. But we're real excited to have that done by that September 1 deadline. Another reason for doing it is you may have noticed, if you use a phone or a tablet, the old website just didn't work well with phones and tablets. That whole side panel we had with those lovely pictures of our friends would appear first before you would get to the content. The new website adapts for whatever size device you are on. So if you're on a phone, if you're on a tablet, if you're on a computer, it's going to look slightly different, but it's going to work really, really well. So that's another reason for switching. Also, some of us are aging. Our eyes are not as good as they used to be. And the old website had some small fonts and even light gray fonts, and for some of us it was getting more and more difficult to see and read. The new website has larger fonts, darker fonts. So it's going to be easier for us to read. Yeah, I see people like that. Yeah. Another thing that we've done with the new website right now, since so many of our members are engaged in a gentle healing group, is when you get to the new website, you'll notice the gentle healing group is on the main menu bar, which makes it a lot easier to find. You're going to find the daily contemplation under the gentle healing menu. You're going to find the audios and homework from the gentle healing group there. You're going to find Regina's tips underneath there. But also, there's a direct link underneath the gentle healing menu that goes to our gentle healing playlist on YouTube. Every now and then when we ask someone to watch a video on the gentle healing playlist, they're like, where's that? Well, now it's right there on our menu bar on our website. So everything is very easy to find regarding gentle healing. Also, at the bottom of each page, including our home page, you're going to find huge icons that provide easy, easy access to our sanctuary schedule, to Awakening Together Radio, for new folks, to the opportunity to join Awakening Together or subscribe to our daily update. And then also we have a new bookstore. We've always had a bookstore on ReginaDonAkers.com, but we've never had that bookstore on Awakening Together. So that bookstore is now available and accessible right there from the bottom of each page with a you know, lovely icon. Also, when you're on any internal page, not the home page, but any internal page at all, you'll find a menu on the right which has our most recent posts. So our most recent posts are all easily accessible from any internal page using a right-hand menu that's currently called Recent Posts. Also, on the bottom of any page or post, you're going to find some social media icons. If you find an audio you want to share on social media or an article you want to share on social media, you just click on that icon and you'll be able to share it very, very easily on social media. We are still making improvements. We made the decision, although, you know, although things look pretty good. If you were working on this, you'll know they're not yet perfect. But because we had that September 1 deadline, we decided to go live. So we are still making improvements. And the primary people working on those improvements are Jacqueline, Ken, and I, and Bruce Rawls may do a little bit. But if you notice anything, like if you come to a broken link or something like that, please feel free to let me know. You can just send it to regina.donakers@yahoo.com because we're in the process of identifying those things and fixing those things. Also, regina.donakers.com, by the way, a lot of the links there also changed because of the Dropbox going away. Some of those audios, if they were shared on both websites, were on Dropbox, and they've been moved to Drive HQ as well. So, again, if you notice any broken links on reginadonakers.com, feel free to let me know. That will just help me out. I've had two people identify two full pages to me in the last 3 days, and that's really nice. I was able to go in and fix all the links. So don't be shy to let me know, because that's just helping. I do want to say a great big giant thank you to Bruce Rawls, who was a huge assistance. There are certain things that Ken and Jacqueline and I knew how to do, but there were certain things that we just didn't. We needed a technical expert, and he took care of all of that for us. And then I also want to say thank you to Ken and Jacqueline, who helped me out with some of the most tedious, time-consuming work that needed to happen, like updating images and things like that. So I want to thank them for their continued effort, because, again, we'll still be working on this for a few weeks until we get it completely perfect. But I think it's a big improvement, and I want to thank you all for your patience. All right, so my second announcement then, I do have an update on the fall retreat. I know you all are very familiar with the fact that we're having a fall retreat in Colorado Springs in October. I just want to tell you the Gina Lake retreat is nearly full. We only have a few rooms left for that retreat. So we're watching it very, very closely. Once it's full, people can still register, but they could only register with the commuter rate and would need to stay at a nearby hotel and probably have a rental car, some way to get back and forth to the retreat center each day. So if you are interested in registering for that Gina Lake retreat, I recommend doing it, you know, today, tomorrow, because we have at least a few people sign up for that retreat each week, and there's only a few spaces left. So if that interests you, please do that right away. I also want to let you know that there is a new discount. The early bird discount has passed, but we decided to initiate another discount for the Awakening Together members who register for the Regina Dawn Akers or the Bob and Tess retreat. If you register for all three, there was already a discount in place for all three. So if you register for Gina, Regina, and Bob and Tess, then you'll still get a discount. But there is a new discount for Awakening Together members. We also added a discount for TAT members. Bob and Tess are from the TAT Foundation for their retreat. So there's still some opportunities to get discounts. I want to let you know also that even though the Regina Dawn Akers retreat is not full, like the Gina Lake retreat, it is still a challenge to get into the Regina Dawn Akers retreat. And the reason for that is this retreat center does not have a full crew of maids, you know, like a hotel does. They only have a couple ladies. And those couple ladies can only clean so many rooms in a day. And so a lot of the rooms that are being used for the Gina Lake retreat, when those people leave, those rooms will set dirty for a few days, and they will not be available again until the Bob and Tess retreat. So getting into the Regina Dawn Akers retreat right now is also a challenge due to the rooms being used by the Gina Lake retreat. I'm sure we can ask them to clean a few rooms. We can talk to them and see how many, maybe up to 10 rooms, which makes, you know, some more space available for Regina than Gina. But again, if you're interested in registering for the Regina Dawn Akers retreat, space is more limited for that retreat, so consider doing that within the next couple of weeks, maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks if possible. The best chance for us to get together is the Bob and Tess retreat. That retreat, the rooms will be clean again. There's still plenty of space available for that retreat. Again, there's a discount for that retreat. I also expect some really powerful information that's really, really helpful to us in the process of awakening to come from that Bob and Tess retreat. And I would like to personally encourage especially members of the Gentle Healing Group, if you are available to come to that retreat, to come to the Bob and Tess retreat, and we can kind of all learn together the additional forms of self-inquiry that they teach, and, of course, the looking at dreams that they teach, and then we can use that together. It will kind of be new skills that Regina Dawn Akers has never taught, and so it will be new for all of us. So consider especially coming to the Bob and Tess retreat. That retreat starts on Thursday evening. Let's see, I don't have my calendar open in front of me. I should have written that down. Let me glance real quick at our website. Somebody might be writing it on the board as I'm glancing, but I'm not looking at the board. So the Bob and Tess retreat begins on Thursday, October 26th, and goes through Sunday, October 29th. So you could fly in on Thursday the 26th and then fly out on Sunday afternoon the 29th. So please consider the Bob and Tess retreat. It's an excellent opportunity for us to get together. Also, I want to remind you that tonight is our movie discussion group. The movie is Welcome to Happiness. I went over to Ken and Rebecca's house and watched that on Thursday night, and that is a very good movie. When it first starts off, it's interesting, but you don't quite know what's going on. And then as the movie moves on, you get a better and better view for why Jacqueline selected it for this month's movie. So if you haven't watched it yet, you still have today. Again, the name of the movie is Welcome to Happiness. Great movie, so please watch that with spirit. Do some journaling and join us tonight for the movie discussion group. That movie discussion group is right after my Seven Steps teaching, so that is going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and I'm noticing Doreen suggested that movie. Yeah, Doreen, so thank you very much for the suggestion. Also, tonight is the last night of Craig Holliday's miniseries, Fully Human, Fully Divine. His topic tonight, Suffering, the Grand Gate of Integrated Awakening. The places where we suffer are doorways into integration. Without integration, awakening will never stabilize. And, of course, as we, I think, have probably seen, some people seem to go through a purification process and awakening comes later. Some people seem to have this shift called awakening, but then they still go through this purification process. It happens either way. And when they go through it afterwards, it's often called integration. So that's what he'll be talking about tonight, the integration or the purification process, which is sometimes experienced, you know, post-awakening or post-shift. Also, tonight is the last night for Craig's miniseries. So if you've appreciated this miniseries, please donate. You can donate any time up until Thursday, which is August 31st. I will send him the money on Friday. So please consider donating. Just go to our website, click on Donate, and then support the current miniseries. And 100% of the money you donate, minus the PayPal fee, will be given directly to Craig. With that said, I have a very special announcement that I would like to make. The very special announcement is Craig has decided to stay with Awakening Together. He really enjoys it. So he's actually going to keep that same time slot. So although tonight is the last night of his mini-series, and again, I do encourage you to donate to say thank you very much to Craig, he's going to keep that Sunday night time slot, which is 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, and he's going to be with us every week. So Craig is now a regular teacher in the Awakening Together sanctuary. And in fact, we have four mini-series guests who are now on our regular schedule, and they're all very clear, and I enjoy listening to all of them. Kate Greaves is here every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, very, very clear, based on A Course in Miracles, and extremely clear. I love listening to her. I usually listen to her on on the radio, Awakening Together Radio, but I love listening to Kate. And now Craig Holiday is going to be each Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, he's very, very devotional. Non-dual devotional is the way that I would categorize him. So we have Kate, Clear, A Course in Miracles, Craig, non-dual devotional. Then we have Deanna Stanley each Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. And I would call her peaceful and clear, very, very peaceful and clear. And then we have Nirmala each Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 10:30 Pacific. And I would call him allowing clear, non-dual teaching, right? So we have, you know, four really clear people, slightly different slants in the way they teach. They're not all exactly alike, and they've all become regular speakers in our sanctuary. So please try and catch up with Kate, Craig, Deanna, and Nirmala, right? So let me go ahead and go into our opening song. Since forgiveness is our topic, I've selected a song called Forgiveness. This is by an artist, a Christian artist, named Matthew West.
Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Help me.
All right, let's go directly into prayer. We gather together in the heart now. A group of sincerity is what we are. We are sincere in our intent to let go of the misperception regarding what we are, as well as letting go of all the misperceptions that come from that one misperception, and realize truth in ourselves and everything. One truth, non-dual. We are sincerity, a group of sincerity gathered together. And yet, as sincere as we are, we each still have blind spots or certain thoughts that we mistakenly value that trip us up, so that we continue to speak, act, and think as the individual. Please uncover these blind spots for us, because we are sincerity. Please help us to see where we are placing value when value is not warranted. Help us to free ourselves by noticing our individual opportunities for forgiveness. And thank you in advance for the assistance that I know will come to each of us. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn the mic over to Reverend Cher Murphy now. She is going to read What is Forgiveness from A Course in Miracles Workbook for Students. Cher, the mic is yours.
Amen, amen, amen. That was so beautiful, Regina. That remove the blind spots as the individual, as, you know, speaking and acting as the individual, because my intention is to truly remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Yeah, this is perfect for today on forgiveness, because I've already been in blind spots with my family right now. I have a lot of family and friends going through the catastrophic flooding in Houston, and my brother Dom lives back in Corpus Christi now. He's had a lot of damage, and it's, you know, he's got a house. And but anyway, there, we really do need to lift the Houston and Texas coast up. So this is perfect. What is forgiveness? Because I've already been triggered by family. It's amazing. We don't talk a lot, but now we're talking because of the storm, and I've already been triggered. So this is perfect. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It does not pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin. And in that view, are your sins forgiven? What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity and therefore lets it go. What then is free to take its place is now the will of God. And in catastrophes, the will of God does come through. I know that in all catastrophe, God is there. And this is it's all going to be good. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is not true. The mind is closed and will not be released. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily acceptable to doubt, and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen as its wanted goal? An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. Distortion is its purpose and the means by which it would accomplish it as well. It sets about its furious attempts to smash reality without concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It ascends no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judges not. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is. Welcome the storm exactly as it is. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. Through him who is your guide, your savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain of ultimate success, he has forgiven you already, for such is his function, given him by God. Now must you, and I used to say, when we must, we can, share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God. I love you guys. You guys, bye.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Yeah, I often quote you on that statement you just made, if you must, you can. I love that. I love that little pause whenever you see must. I have known people in the past that if they see the word must, like now must you share his function, they become angry. You know, they feel like somebody's laying down the law, and they don't like that. And I think your interpretation of that word must is really sweet and clear. If you must, you can, right? This is saying you can do this. So thank you. So what is forgiveness? I now love this first line. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. There was a time, of course, when I did not love that line because I perceived it as denial, right? If somebody, quote, did something to me, you know, let's say somebody stole money. Let's just pick something. So somebody stole money from me. To say that did not happen just felt like denial, like burying your head in the sand. And to me, denial is not the way to awaken. But I have learned since then, through my own experience, what this line really means and why I misunderstood it before. I misunderstood it before because I misunderstood what I am. That was the crux of the misunderstanding, just like it's the crux of every misunderstanding, right? It's the misunderstanding about who we are is the foundation of all misunderstanding, the foundation of all misperception. And that was, of course, the foundation of me misunderstanding this particular sentence. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It doesn't mean that this did not happen in experience one body personality to another body personality, right? I mean, there may have been a body that snuck into a bedroom, opened a drawer, found some hidden money, took the hidden money and snuck out, right? We don't have to say that didn't happen, which is why this is not a denial, not a burying the head in the sand, right? We don't have to say that didn't happen. He didn't actually take the money, or she didn't actually take the money, right? That's not the key. That's not the key in this sentence. The key in this sentence is the word you. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. Who are you? That's the key. If I think of myself as the possessor of money, that's my temporary identity. We have so many identities, it's ridiculous. We don't just have the identity of our name, like I am Regina, right? We don't just have, or our sex, I am female. We have so many identities. That is becoming extremely clear to me lately. One of those identities is possessor of money. I am the possessor of money. That's my identity. I am the possessor of money. And now someone else has taken that money. I am no longer the possessor of money. Yeah, there's a loss. There's a loss. But is possessor of money what I am? If I really look and pay attention to what I am, if I close my eyes and I distinguish the difference between thoughts that come and go and emotions that come and go and experiences that come and go, and that which is what I am, which is always here, constant, absolutely non-changing, always present. And I get clear that that's what I am. That's what I was when I was 5. That's what I was when I was 10, 20, 30. I've always been this. As everything else has changed, even my own personal opinions have changed. You know, when I was 5, I wasn't the possessor of money. So my identities have even changed, right? This is constant. This is really what I am. And as I get very, very clear that this is what I am, and then look at that, did my brother do anything to me? Has what I am changed at all? Isn't it exactly the same whether there's money there or not money there? Does it experience any offense whatsoever? Is there ever any change in it? And if you really, really look at what you are, the answer is always no change. Nothing has happened, right? Nothing. So this is what forgiveness recognizes. You don't have to deny that a certain experience seemed to occur in form, right? You're just giving no value to that experience because it didn't affect you at all. Forgiveness recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. There has been no effect, no change at all. Of course, in Miracles uses the language of the word sin. Sin is when you think someone is guilty of something, right? So whether it's you or someone else. So, you know, if you're identified as the possessor of money, if that's your current temporary identification, and then somebody takes the money, right? Then you may think they sinned. Right? They did something wrong. But of course, in Miracles says, what is sin except a false idea about God's Son? You see, it's telling you right there, you will only see sin if you're identified with an idea rather than aware of your true self. If I'm identified with the idea that I am possessor of money, then I will see sin. But if I know who I am, there is no effect, and sin is impossible. I mean, wouldn't sin have to have an effect? Therefore, if there is no effect, there can be no sin. So again, the only confusion at the root of all confusion, the only misperception at the root of all misperception, the only mistake at the root of all mistake is who or what am I? When we are clear on that, it's also clear there have been no effects, and that way nothing has happened. Therefore, there is no sin. And that is forgiveness, just seeing correctly. Seeing correctly instead of seeing through our own mistaken ideas. What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity, right? again, it's not the denial of it's fault that this, I'll say Bob stole from Cindy. We'll just make up some names. It's, I don't have to deny that it's false that Bob came in and took money from me, Cindy. I'll be Cindy. I don't have to deny that experience. What I have to deny is that I am the possessor of money, or I am the person who is always taken advantage of, or I am the person that never picks the right friends. These ideas that I have about who I am, that's the falsity. I'm the unaffected awareness presence that is the same now when there was money in that drawer as after when there is not money in that drawer. No change has occurred. So the falsity is whatever personal identification I would have that would cause me to see my brother as sinning. In fact, the funny thing is this has nothing to do with my brother at all. When you really, really, really look at forgiveness, it has nothing to do with anyone but you. It's always about your misidentification. So forgiveness merely sees its falsity, the falsity of my identification, the falsity of the idea about who I am, and therefore lets it go. Wait a minute. I'm not the possessor of money. Wait a minute. I'm not the person who always picks the wrong friends. Wait a minute. I'm not the one everybody always takes advantage of. I'm the unaffected awareness. That's the same now as before. And then there's nothing to hold on to, right? There's no sin. Nothing, there's no effects. There's no sin. Let's look at the unforgiving thought. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt. I'm going to read that again with another word in place of doubt. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to inquiry. It makes a judgment, it decides it's true, and it never questions it. It never practices root cause inquiry. It never practices the Byron Katie inquiry. It never practices the choose again inquiry. It never practices any other form of inquiry. It never practices the self-inquiry, even. Who am I? What am I? It never practices that. It doesn't practice any type of inquiry at all. That's an unforgiving thought. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt. It will not raise to inquiry. And then it goes on to say, the mind is closed. The close is, I'm sure I'm right. I'm right. This should not have happened. He should not be that way. It should be different than it is. Right? I am right. And I will not question this. That's a closed mind. In spite of how painful it is. Yet Barb says, and it's painful. In spite of how painful it is, the way I'm seeing, I'm certain I'm right, and I will not question this. Byron Katie says, are you sure it's true? And you say, hell yeah. Are you absolutely certain it's true? Yes. That's a closed mind. I refuse to look another way. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is not true. The mind is closed and will not be released. Then it goes on to say, the thought protects projection, which means I believe again that my perception is correct, tightening its chains, so the distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt. What this means to me is the longer I believe a perception without questioning it, the harder it's going to be to raise it to question. And the reason for that is I begin to identify with that. This becomes a part of who I am. I am the one who was ripped off by Bob, right? So the longer we hold on to an idea, the longer we hold on to a pain, the more challenging it's going to be to raise it to doubt, the more challenging it's going to be to inquire into. What that says to me, as a sincere, as a bit of sincerity, right? I don't want to call myself a person, as a bit of sincerity that is willing to awaken to truth. What that says to me is, the sooner I inquire into anything that's causing me any kind of pain, the better. The instant I feel that, that's the time to inquire. The earlier I inquire, the easier it's going to be to see through it and let it go. And that's why, you know, sometimes people have these experiences when they're, you know, 13 years old and now they're 65 years old and they're still like, oh my God, you know, I was raped by my uncle, right? And people, you know, of course, most people accept that pain as natural. But for those of us who realize that happened so many years ago, you can just let go of it now. You know, why can't they let go of something that happened so many years ago? The answer is it's become a part of the identity. The longer you hold on to something, the harder it is to inquire into it. Therefore, the sooner we inquire when we feel that little pain, that little the better. That's a very, very positive lesson to me, right? A very, very positive lesson. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt, and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen as its wanted goal? And the aim, is seeing myself as something other than what I truly am. It doesn't even matter what I see myself as. You know? The pitiful, shameful victim. You know, that's not pleasant, right? I'm the pitiful, shameful victim. And the shame follows me throughout my entire life. Right? But the ego, the mind, prefers that to the truth. Forgiveness is simply being clear on the truth about what I am. It has nothing to do with events in the world. You know, forgiveness is not seeing sin and then pardoning them. It has nothing to do at all with outward perception. It has everything to do with my identification. Who am I? What am I? Have I been affected? And so every time we practice forgiveness, we are letting go of false identification. Regardless of the situation. Sometimes people can't understand. I've been, you know, watching Byron Katie lately, and sometimes with Byron Katie, people cannot understand how you could forgive something such as, you know, your uncle raping you at age 13. You know, there's just some things that are too awful, too sinful to be forgiven. Or another thing that people find very difficult to forgive is the fact that I have cancer now and I'm dying now. You know, the doctors can't save me. I'm dying. This is a reason to suffer until I die, right? And that makes sense to everyone. Yeah, cancer, that's very real. She's dying. She has a brain tumor. They can't fix it. That's very real. And Katie says, there's nothing that can't be brought to inquiry and seen through. Why Is there nothing that can't be brought to inquiry and seen through? Because everything that would result in an unforgiving thought is based on misidentification, and any identification other than our truth is wrong. You know, what has the cancer? The body. Am I the body? You can go deep into who am I, what am I, deep into awareness, watching awareness, meditation, and come to the realization, I am not the body. Then do I have cancer? Has there been any change? Is there any effect? No. And forgiveness happens. No, raped by my uncle at age 13. You know, what is the identification there? The identification may be poor victim. Poor victim. Is poor victim what I am, or is that just a concept, just an idea? Go deep into inquiry, deep into awareness, and look, what am I? Have there been any effects? No, right? Everything is the same. All misperceptions, all unforgiveness comes from a misidentification regarding who or what I am. Therefore, shifting the identification to the truth, forgiveness is automatic. Because it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it happened in the past, if it's happening now, like cancer in the body, or if it's a fear about the future. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't create an effect in what I am. And that's the only thing that genuinely matters. An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. So let's imagine that someone comes to you with evidence that you are simply misperceiving, not even spiritual evidence, right? Like, Bob did not take that money. I'm certain Bob did not take that money. Here's what happened, you know. I'm pretty sure that you misplaced the money. Remember, blah, 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 blah. No, I did not. Bob took that money. Why? Why do I not want to listen to any evidence that I might be wrong? Because I'm identified now with that. That's a little piece of who I am. I am the one that Bob ripped off. And I have to be right about that. Right? And so I begin to fight for my misperception. And I've always thought it's funny. You know, I have experienced this way more times than I could begin to count. Just so many times when I'm talking to someone and, you know, and they're feeling unworthy, guilty, whatever, and I explain to them, or I attempt to explain to them, that that is not true. They're perfectly innocent. They've always been perfectly innocent. And the response is, yeah, but you just don't know what I've done. You see? That's what we do. You just don't know what I've done. That's the insistence that I'm right, because it's a part of my identification. It also happens with some people when you know, they have a perception that they're physically, you know, ugly or in some way physically unacceptable. And you say, you know, I think you're beautiful. Oh, no, you haven't seen my thighs or my varicose veins or whatever. You haven't, you know, you don't know. Right? Why? Because we are identified with our misperception. That's who I am. And so even if you present me with evidence to the contrary, I will deny your evidence, because I have to cling to my misperception, because it's a part of my identity. Watch your unforgiving thoughts go that far. When someone shows you evidence to the contrary, watch how you fight to hold on to your pain, because it's a part of your identity. An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. It has no concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Right? It has no concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Yeah, and Ken is looking at Byron Katie's questions, who would I be without this thought? Yeah, so it's not asking that question, right? It's not raising this to inquiry. Yeah. Now let's look at forgiveness. We've looked at an unforgiving thought and how that operates in us. Now let's look at forgiveness. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. This is a very, very interesting definition of forgiveness, because this is beyond the process of inquiry, which is a process they need to go through. Inquiry is like a bridge. You know, if I think I've been hurt because Bob stole from me, I may need to go through inquiry in order to see that I've not been hurt. But forgiveness is the seeing that I've not been hurt. It's not even the inquiry. Inquiry is a tool to realize forgiveness. Forgiveness is that awareness that's already present that I've not been hurt. That is forgiveness. Presence, awareness is synonymous with forgiveness. Forgiveness is still and quietly does nothing. It just is aware of the truth. So really, even though we use the language that we need to forgive, we aren't forgiving. We are shifting from misperception into forgiveness, which is a constant way of seeing with truth. We are shifting from misperception into forgiveness, which is a constant way of seeing with truth, with my true identity in place. There has been no effect. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing, right? So forgiveness isn't practicing inquiry. Forgiveness is the realization we get to after we practice inquiry. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It merely looks and waits and judges not. It welcomes truth exactly as it is. Forgiveness is the right mind. Forgiveness is presence. Forgiveness is awareness. Forgiveness is our true perspective. And then this ends with, do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. Now, of course, that's kind of interesting, because if I'm all hot and heavy that Bob stole money from me, right? I'm angry. I want to kill Bob. I may not get from that perception to forgiveness if I do nothing. I need to practice inquiry. I need to raise this to doubt, raise my perception to doubt, right? So when this says do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do, what this means to me is do nothing from a wrong perspective. When you know you're in your wrong mind, when you are in pain, do not act on that. Do not call Bob and cuss him out. Do not call all your friends and tell them what Bob did to you. Do not do anything. Don't even, I would say, call the police. Not that there's anything wrong with calling the police. You know, you may need to call the police if someone is right now in danger, right? If you know that Bob's in the other room about to rape Sarah, you may call the police to help out, right? But if the money's gone, in that moment, while you're in your wrong mind, you do not need to call the police. There's no reason to. Nobody's in danger. Go instead to inquiry. Now, whether once you're in the right mind, whether you'll call the police or not, I'm not going to comment on. What I am commenting on is don't do anything from the wrong mind. Right? If there's immediate danger, then maybe you need to do something. But if there's not an immediate danger, you don't. Be clear on the difference. Do not do anything from your wrong mind. Instead, raise your way of thinking, raise your way of perceiving, raise your current identity to question. And then when you have reached the state of forgiveness, then let that state of mind show you what to do. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through Him who is your guide, right? Move to forgiveness first. Move to forgiveness first. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. And then another little phrase that I've underlined here are just the words, certain of your ultimate success. Let me read the whole sentence to you, and then I'll focus on this. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through Him who is your guide, your Savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. To me, ultimate success there is about awakening to my truth completely, so I never slip back into misidentification. And one thing that I notice is that the more I practice awareness, watching awareness, the more that certainty is a part of my beingness. I think we've all experienced, you know, the perception that, you know, everybody else is going to awaken but not me. Have you guys felt that? Everyone else is going to, but not me. There's something wrong with me. It can never happen for me, right? That's a part of the ego thought system. It's not a part of truth. Truth is certain of your ultimate success. So the more we spend time looking at truth, the more we spend time focusing on awareness and becoming aware of awareness, the more that certainty becomes a part of our beingness. Do nothing then from the wrong mind. And let forgiveness show you what to do. Shift into forgiveness, and then you'll know what to do, if anything. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through Him who is your guide, your Savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain, certain of your ultimate success. We shall awaken to our true identity. It's natural to do so. And with that, I'm going to play a song. So that we can contemplate this teaching, what is forgiveness. The song was written by a friend of mine. Some of you may have heard him speak in the last couple of weeks. He's been coming to the Gentle Healing Group. His name is Dave Van Dyke. And the name of the song is Free at Last. While you're listening to this song and contemplating the teaching, if you would like to donate to Awakening Together, Barb will provide a link that will enable you to do that. So here is Free at Last by Dave Van Dyke.
Thank you.
this, of course, is the time in our weekly gathering when you all are invited to share based on the reading and the teaching today, what is forgiveness? Who would like to share? Okay, Gloria, I see that you would like to share, so the mic is yours.
All right, good morning. Do I have the mic this morning? Okay, great. So first of all, I want to say thank you to Regina and Cher for the gathering today. And especially thank you, Regina. I'm in this mind, I was thinking, well, Regina's on next, so I have a little while before it's time for me. And it wasn't until you made the comment about it being the end of the month that I realized that I'm actually next. So thank you for that as well. So I did want to come on today and comment on the gathering. I'm in the process right now of switching my identification, my ID from one state to the other. And I made a trip to the license branch last week, and I'm scheduled to make another trip to the license branch next week. Anyone who's ever had to go through that process knows that one piece of paper out of whack will cause you to make another trip, and that's what happened with me. I had one piece of paper that was required for this date, and you know, but at the end of the day, having that identification, I had to, first of all, prove that I am who I say I am, and then after I get that identification, I'm required to walk around and confirm my identity everywhere I go, whether I'm cashing a check or even returning an item to the store that I lost my receipt for. I have to confirm that I am who I'm presenting myself to be. So Regina's talk today really brought that to the forefront for me in terms of identification. I know that she titled this gathering today Forgiveness. But what came through for me so clearly in this gathering was this identification. And in many cases, misidentification. So as I was getting ready to sleep last night, I was just overcome with a great sense of peace, so much so that I couldn't sleep now, which is almost funny because it was a high level of peace that was preventing me from just going off into the silent night, which I did eventually. But as I was resting in that feeling of well-being, in that feeling of peaceful comfort, five words came to me. And I know that these five words were not just for me in hearing this talk today, which is why I've come on to share that. And that those words are Holy Free Son of God. That is, as Regina so eloquently shared with us today, our true identity. The level of peace that I experienced as I, before I heard those words, is because that is the truth of who I am. That is the forgiveness, as Regina mentioned. That is the awareness. That is the presence. That is the life and the truth. So I wanted to share that because just as I shared with this about having to present my identification on every, whenever it's requested or demanded of me to identify who I am, I'm also going forward carrying another card now, not just the new ID card that I am scheduled to get next week. There's going to be another card in my pocket, in my heart, in my mind, and that is the Holy Free Son of God. no matter what the identification says that I have to carry around, the truth is that is the essence of my being. That is the unaffected, holy, perfect essence of my being. And as long as we start from that point, we are practicing forgiveness, we are experiencing forgiveness, and we are being forgiveness. So that is what I wanted to share, and I feel completely peaceful and joyous at the fact that this part of us is never affected by anything, any situation, any circumstance. It's completely unaffected, perfect, and loving. Holy free, Son of God. Bless you all.
Thank you very much, Rev. Gloria. And her sharing about the Holy Free Son of God is a perfect transition into my closing song. So I'm going to play the closing song, but please remember, you are welcome to continue to stay for the fellowship half hour that follows and continue to share on what is forgiveness. The closing song today is an oldie but a goodie, and if you haven't listened to these words in a long time, pay attention to the words. They're much different than I thought they were when I was in, like, third grade. This is by my mom's favorite singer, Andy Williams, and it's Born Free.
Grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you each time you look at a star. Is worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide.
Hear from that song now. When I was in third grade, I thought it was about lions. I thought the song was about lions. Now I hear that the song is about me. It says you were born free, right? You were born without misperception. You were born in a state of forgiveness. You were born in awareness. Now stay free. Continue to abide as yourself. Stay free. All right, that's it for me. It's been great seeing y'all. Love you, and I'll see you again this evening. Bye-bye.